Turn your Bibles this morning, if you will, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And if you will go to verse number 10, if you will. John chapter 10, verse number 10. And we'd just like to really encourage you in this subject is about doing more. Doing more. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. And I just want to help and be an encouragement to you. And our whole lifetime here on earth is short. And there are so many things that we would like to do, and you know, there's goals and lives in our lives and whatnot, and we pursue certain things, but those are good in itself. There's a time and a purpose for those things. But more importantly, if you're saved here today, that the Lord wants you to do more.
Amen.
Just not live the Christian life. He didn't save you and I just to sit on a pew. He didn't save us just to call ourselves Christians. But we ought to strive to do more in our Christian life. And if we look at our text this morning in John chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says, "And a thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." And those three words, to steal, to kill, and destroy, that is exactly what the devil is trying to do to you and I. He is trying to steal what's so precious. He is trying to destroy. He's trying to steal your life. He's trying to steal so many things that God has given us. He's trying to kill you spiritually. And he's trying to destroy your testimony. He doesn't want you to grow in Christ. He doesn't want you to be rooted in Christ. He doesn't want you to love him more and to follow him. He doesn't want any of those things for you and I. But if you look down, it says, "I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And I want to talk to you just for a little bit about this subject is doing more, doing more. And the Bible here says that they might have life. I mean, don't get me wrong, that salvation is so important. That's God's will for us to be saved. If you're saved this morning, praise the Lord for that. That is the most wonderful thing that you can ever, most important thing that you can ever do in your life is giving your life to the Lord.
Amen.
Is having the Holy Spirit come inside you and indwell in you and teach you and guide you. And that's so important. That's great. I'm glad for that. But that doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop that salvation. And say, a lot of people, we say, you know, I'm saved and, I mean, that's it. I'm good. I mean, I'm going to get my way to heaven now. I mean, I've gotten saved. I have the Lord in my life. Now I can do whatever I want. I mean, that's just my ticket to do whatever I want. That's my fire escape. But that's not why God gave you salvation. We understand it's a free gift. But the Bible here does say that they might have life. And it's good to be saved. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. I'm glad I'm saved. Aren't you glad you're saved?
Right.
I mean, aren't you glad that you have everlasting life? Aren't you glad that that when we die, that you're going to go to heaven if you have everlasting life? That your salvation will never perish. You have a relationship with God, that God's there with you. He's there to teach you. He's there to guide you. There's so many wonderful things in salvation. But then the Bible also says that they might have it more abundantly. It's talking about not only do you have salvation, but we ought to strive to do more than just to be saved. We ought to do more. We got to exceed. We got to strive to go further and not just stop at salvation. And I want to help you with some things this morning. I hope I get through all of these things. But number one, I want to say that realize that God has a will for your life. Number one, God has a will for your life. There is a purpose for your life. There is a reason why you exist. There is a purpose for your life. God wants you to do something and he wants you to be something. That's why he created you. That's why he died for you. That's why he's given you a Bible. He's given you a church. He's given you a pastor to grow and to be teachable. And if you turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. Look what the Bible here says, what it says here. It says, "Saying, Father, If thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So Christ here was saying, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. It's not going to be my will. I want it to be your will. So we have to give our life to God and let Him have control. Because His ways are higher than our ways. His ways are bigger than our ways. His ways are stronger. And if we allow God to work in our life, He will teach you, He will guide you, and He will make you into a Christian that He wants you to be. You have a will for your life. There is a purpose why you are here. There is a job that God has for you. I mean, you may think that your brother Nez, you don't know what I've done. You don't know my background. And, you know, I just don't feel like the Lord's, you know, calling me. I mean, God, I understand God doesn't call everyone to the ministry, but God has called every Christian to do something.
That's right.
Every Christian ought to be doing more for the Lord. And we have to realize that God has a will for you. Ask yourself this question. What's God's will for me? What is God's will? What does He want me to do? What does He want? What does God want me to do? Does He want me to be a preacher? Does He want to be a missionary? Does He want me to clean the church? Does He want me to start a Sunday school class? Or does He want me to start a van route? Or what does He want me to do? What is my purpose in life? Can I tell you, God has a purpose for you in life? And I remember when I was growing up, there were so many things that I wanted to do. But can I tell you, I was never led to go in that direction. I never knew that God would call me into the ministry, but God knew.
Yeah.
God knew that I was going to be a preacher. God knew we were going to start a church. God knew. I didn't know that. I mean, I wanted to do other things. I mean, I tried to get into the military. I wanted to be a police officer. That was my dream. That was my goal in life. That's what I was trying to pursue. But God had other plans. And God, can I tell you that God has a plan for your life as well? God has a plan. There's just more. There is more than just being having life. There's salvation. You get saved and you get baptized. If you haven't gotten baptized yet, I mean, I encourage you to get baptized. There's just so many benefits of getting baptized. There's so many benefits as joining the local church. You get to be involved in so much things. You get to bear fruit. You become part of the family. It's amazing when you're baptized. And there's a lot of benefits from that. But what I'm saying is, God has a will for your life. You know, Moses could have been a prince. You know, he grew up there in Egypt. He had every opportunity. He was next in line for the throne. He could have been a prince. But yet God had a higher calling, didn't he? He had a higher calling from Moses. Can I tell you, David could have been just a shepherd. He could have been satisfied doing working for his dad. He could have been going out and he did a really good job watching over a flock. That's what he did. But can I tell you, he had a higher calling. That's not what God's will for him, what his life was.
Right.
You look at Peter. He could have been, he was a great fisherman. That was his trade. He was good at that. But that wasn't his calling. God had another will for him. A better will for him. You look at Matthew, he could have been a wealthy businessman, but yet God had a higher calling in his life. Don't just settle with just having salvation. God is always wanting you to do more. There's always more for you and I to do. And it's just amazing when God allows you to do these things. And then I want to say, how do we do more? How can we be a better Christian? How can we just have life, have everlasting life, have salvation, and then how can we go further? What are some things? How can I get to from where I am now to do more for the Lord? Second, I want to say that we have to first remove all hindrances in your life. You have to remove all hindrances in your life. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. In Chapter 3 and in verse 7, the Bible here says that, but what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Verse 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You see, Paul here says that what things were gained to me, what things that were once important to me, he says, I count those as lost. You see, what things that were important to him in his life was not so important to God. He had to put those aside. He had to put his desires and replace them with God's desires. He had to put what he thought was good, and then he began to take in God's thoughts. Because he said, all these things, he says, were gained to me. Man, he mean everything that his knowledge and his wisdom, all those things that were important to him, that was dear to him, he said, those things are not important for me anymore. Those things were just hindrances in my life. Can I tell you what hinders a Christian from doing more? Are these hidden sins in your life?
Yeah.
The things that your pastor may not know, that your husband may not know, your wife may not know, your parents may not know, those things in your life, they hinder your life. That's why a lot of people don't get baptized. That's why a lot of people don't read their Bible. That's why a lot of people don't pray. That's why a lot of people don't come to church, because they're afraid. They're scared because of these hidden sins in their life that is preventing them from growing in Christ. And God said, Paul said, I'm gonna get rid of those things. I mean, those things are hindered. They're a weight to me. They're holding me back. Can I tell you what holds you back as well? Bad friends, bad influence. Hanging around the wrong crowd. Listening to the wrong kind of music. Being influenced in the wrong way. I mean, having friends who smoke and who drink and who cuss, being around that. Those are hindrances in your life.
Yeah.
Listening to dirty jokes at work. There's so many things that we can make a list of going on. You can go on and on, going on, go on and go on. And those are hindrances in your life that keeps you from growing in Christ. That keeps you from being rooted in Christ. Is these hindrances in your life. Now go back to Philippians chapter 3 and look in verse 13. The Bible says, 3:13, and it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I'm going to forget everything that happened in the past. You know, a lot of Christians hang on to their past. They hang on to things that they've done before they were saved. I mean, the people that they hurt. You know, the things that happen in life. I mean, God said, when we get saved, God forgives us of all those things. Don't keep that in your life. Don't keep that in your heart. Don't keep that in your mind. Don't forget about those things. God's given you a new life. God's given you new purpose. God's given you a direction. There's no sense in having that.
Right.
And it kills me. There was a couple in our church that day. They were doing so well. I mean, they got saved. I was able to lead them to the Lord, and his wife got saved. His kids, their oldest boy, he surrendered to be a missionary. And they had two boys and wonderful kids. I mean, they had a rough upbringing up there on the reservation, and they were doing very well. I mean, he surrendered. He said, man, I'm going to be a Christian. He got saved. They got baptized. They started to come to church. But yet they had some hidden sins in their life. And they began to creep up as time went on. And they began to miss church. And then their kids started to miss church. Then one would come and the husband would come and the wife would not be around and the wife would come and he wouldn't be there. And we noticed that there were some things in their life. It was something was up. Something was wrong with them. And we approached them about it. Hey, what's going on? And then they come to the church and say, you know, we're moving. We're going to Phoenix, Arizona. And we try to tell them that's not a good idea. Don't do that. That's not wise for you. But they have already made up their minds and they went down and they only stayed there for maybe about a month or so. And they end up coming back and it was just a train wreck. The reason why it was a train wreck was because they had bitterness and had anger in their hearts. Things that happened before they were saved, they held on to those things. And every time they would argue, every time there would be a fight, that certain situation that had happened would come up and they would argue over about it. They would always bring up the past and they use that on each other. And I broke their, that you just broke everything. Now they hardly ever come to church. It breaks my heart. Their boys who surrendered to be a missionary, it affected them. You see, these hidden sins, these hindrances in your life will prevent you from growing in Christ. It will prevent you from doing more for the Lord. It is so very important that you forget those things which are behind and you reach forth unto those things which are before. Deal with your sins. I mean, make a list. I mean, be honest with yourself. Be honest with God, because God already knows your heart. Right. He already knows what's wrong with you. He already knows why you're not being faithful. He already knows why you're not tithing. He already knows why you're not being baptized. He already knows why you're not knocking doors. He already knows everything about you and I. He wants you to confess to Him. He wants you to make a list and to work on those things. I understand it's going to take time. I understand it's going to take a little bit. Why? Because we're just human. That's who we are. That's what we do. That's our nature. Make a list and start to work on these things. Pray for that situation. Pray for it, man. Be specific about it. And that will help you grow to do more. Make a list. Remove all hindrances in your life. So he said, number one, realize that God has a will for your life. Realize that. Understand that God wants you to do something. But before you get to that point, you have to remove all the hindrances in your life. They don't want to say you surrender all. Surrender all. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And in verse 15, the Bible says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, in verse 16. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So Paul says, I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to go to Rome. And I think he knew that he was going to die, that they're going to take his head off. But what he had attitude, he said, you know, I'm ready. I mean, I'm going to surrender my life. I'm going to die for Christ. I mean, I'm going to forget everything that happened. I'm going to forget everything that was gained to me. I'm going to let that go. And I'm going to be ready. I'm going to surrender all. You know, a lot of Christians are not surrendering all. You know that song in the hymn book? All to Him, I surrender. All to Jesus, Jesus, I surrender. All to Him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. It's easy to sing that song, isn't it? But do we really mean it? Do we really give, do we really surrender all to Jesus Christ? Does He have total control of your life? Does He have your heart? Does He have your family? Does He have your marriage? Does He have your kids? Does He have your job? Does He have your car? Does He have your wallet? Does He have your thoughts? Does He have everything that you have? Does that belong to the Lord? Do we really mean that when we say, I surrender all? Because if we want to do more, if we want to go make a difference in this community, we have to surrender all. You know, Paul says in Romans 9:16, remember when Paul here, we see here, he got saved, he was on the road to Damascus, and the Lord talks to his heart, he gets saved, and he says, what wilt thou have me to do? Right away, he said, well, after he got saved, he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And that ought to be the attitude of every Christian, amen? And say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, how can I make a difference? How can I help the church? How can I be involved in the church? How can I help the pastor? How can I help his wife? How can I make a difference? What can I do for you, Lord? And this is a very, very difficult thing to do, is surrender everything to God. When the Lord had called me into the ministry, I was working at a hospital, making good money. I was a safety officer. I've at a hospital. I dealt with emergency management, and I dealt with in charge of natural gas, and we made pretty good money doing that. And the Lord had called me to the ministry. And can I tell you, I gave that up.
Amen.
I gave up that paycheck. And you ask my wife, it was hard, hun, wasn't it, honey? It was hard. First thing we said, how am I going to pay our bills? How am I going to make that car payment? How am I going to buy Pampers? How am I going to get gas money? How am I going to buy food? How about this? What about this? And I made a list. I try to get out of it. I try to make every excuse I can. How in the world is this going to happen? But we have to surrender all, Christian. Because God will supply your need. He will supply your need. It was a very difficult situation, no doubt. And I said to the Lord, Lord, you want me to quit my job, and then you want me to take my family and go out through the country and present our work. Is that what you want me to do? He goes, yes. Where are we going to stay? Lord, we don't have any money. Lord, how are we going to do that? By faith.
Amen.
It takes faith. When our little girl was in a hospital, to be honest with you this morning, I don't think no parent would agree with what would happen to their child. I didn't agree with the situation. I got mad at God. I did. I got angry at him. Am I getting to question him? And I said, Lord, I said, why are you doing this, my little girl? I said, I don't understand why you're doing this. She's only 5 years old. What does she do to you? What does she do to you to deserve have her to be in that ICU bed? Not knowing if she's going to live, not knowing if she's going to die, Lord. And I remember telling the Lord, oh, I gave everything up for you. I said, man, I've read your Bible. I gave my life to you. I serve you. I gave up my job for you. I took away my kids from their grandparents. I gave all those things to you, Lord. And I said, you come back and you do this to us. Why? And I got angry at the Lord. I got mad at him. For 30 days, our little girl was in a hospital, not knowing if we were going to leave that hospital with her. But it was a very difficult situation, wasn't it, honey? Very difficult. A little girl of 5 years old. It was very difficult. Do we remember when Janiyah was born? During services, we sat there and we got up and we dedicated her to the Lord. You see, we forgot about that. I forgot about that. And I forgot about how we dedicated our little girl to the Lord. We gave our little girl to the Lord. We said, Lord, this is not our child, it's your child. We're just going to raise her for you. We're going to do the best we can as parents to raise her, to have her to know you, have her to love you, have her to serve you. That's going to be our responsibility. And it dawned on me to remember that our little girl was not ours, that she belonged to the Lord. And it felt like God had to pry our fingers off our little girl, and we had to step back and say, Lord, if you want to take her, that's your will. Lord, if she's your child. And I begged the Lord for forgiveness of my attitude. But until we surrendered, we were submissive to that, we remembered that we surrendered everything. It was very hard to do. But can I tell you, the Lord began to work. Our little girl got out of ICU. She started to heal quickly. And I believe it because God knew our hearts. And God knew that we were hanging on to her. But until we surrendered all, God began to work. You want to live a more abundant life. You want to do more for the Lord. You want to grow in Christ. You want to grow from this you know, drinking on the milk and going to meat. You want to exceed in your Christian life. Folks, you have to surrender all. Everything. Nothing belongs to you. It all belongs to the Lord. Everything that happens in your life, the victories that you get, the nice home that you have, the nice vehicle, the job that you have, the finances, the money that's in your bank, your beautiful kids, your wife, your husband, your family, everything that you own, that ought to belong to God. It don't belong to you. God's blessed you with those things. Why? Because He loves you. Well, He cares for you. And all He wants you to do is surrender your life, surrender everything to Him. Can I tell you, you do that? God will bless you in your mighty way. He'll take you places you never dreamed of. It is amazing what the Lord can do with you when you surrender all to Him. It's not easy to do. It hurts. It's painful. But as Paul said, what wilt thou have me to do? Isaiah 6:8, it says, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. Surrender all. Then we want to pray more. Praying is so important in your life. It is not just the Lord, thank you for the food, bless it to our bodies, amen. And that's the kind of prayer that everyone is used to, and that's what everybody does. It's just good, we do that. But having a prayer closet, going into that prayer closet and just confessing and just talking to God. I remember this preacher was saying, you know, there's a difference between public prayer and a closed in a closet prayer. He says, you don't go and someone says, you know, Brother Orlando, Pastor Orlando, will you go ahead and pray? He's not going to go to get up and say, Lord, I mean, I've just been a wicked person. I mean, I've just been wicked, and this is what I've been doing all week. Man, I've been saying this to my kids. I've been saying this. I've been doing this. And he's not going to say that in public. You see, public prayer closet is so important. Because that is a time, it's just you and God. You taking a time and you talking to God about you. Because we're sinners. Because we're always doing wrong. That's our nature. There's none of us here that is perfect. We all have faults. We have these sins that hinder our lives. And I'll be honest with you. This one, it was hard for me to do because I need to pray more. I feel like I'm not praying long enough. I'm not praying hard enough. I feel like I'm not taking it seriously. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. I mean, I need to work on this myself. I need to pray more. I need to talk to the Lord more. Because I realize that I cannot do anything without Christ, and you cannot do anything without Christ. Is praying more. Praying for your lost family. Praying for your city. Praying for your neighborhood. Pray for your coworkers. Pray for your friends. Pray for them specifically. Name your strongholds in your life. Because you know what hinders your life.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us are embarrassed of what those hindrances are in your life. Because we're so good at hiding sins. We don't talk about it. We act like everything is fine. We come to church with a fake smile. We extend that hand, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great, but inside something's bugging you. Something you said, something you did yesterday, something you did on Friday that no one knows about, that's just killing you. And you come to church and that hinders the Holy Spirit. You know that? that hinders the Holy Spirit from working. Why? Because you are hiding those sins. You're not confessing those to the Lord. You're not giving those sins to the Lord. It could be bitterness toward your parent, toward your sister, toward your brother, toward your mom, and toward your dad, toward your husband or your wife, someone at work, someone at school. You hate them. You despise them. You gossip about them. You complain about them. And it bothers you. It's all you think about. And you keep it inside of you. That prevents you from being filled with the Spirit. So you need to give those to God. See, those are hindrances in your life. That's why you need to pray. That's why I need to pray.
Yeah.
So we can give those to God. Have Him deal with it. Because we're not able to do it. We're just going to get frustrated. We're just going to get angry. We're going to quit. We're going to get discouraged. It's going to get worse. But if we give it to God, you give it to God, I give it to God, it's so much better that way. Praying more. Being a student of the Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15. Let's go there, 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. And here's what it says. Here's what the Bible says. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be a student of the Bible. Know the book. Don't just read it, but study it. You know, that's our tool. You know, like a mechanic has their sockets, their wrenches. That's what they use to fix things. That's their tool. A carpenter has scale saws. They have hammers. They have nail guns. They have all these things that they use to build. And as a Christian, we have a Bible. That's our tool. That's our sword. We need to keep it sharp. We need to be ready to use it. We need to have it in our minds, have it in your heart. Know the Bible. And it's very important that you know the Bible. Just the other day, Friday, I got ordained.
Amen.
I tell you what, I was nervous when I got ordained. We had the ordination council. We had about 150 years of experience sitting in front of me. Preachers who've been in the ministry over 50 years, 40 years. We had six of them. And I sat right, they put a chair right here. They got a chair. They sat me down and they all sat right here. And these were really good preachers. And I'm just sitting here. And then they start to question me about the Bible. They start to question me about doctrine. They start to question me about certain things. And I tell you what, it was so intimidating. This one preacher, he's one of my favorite preachers. And he had a cane with him. And he asked me, he started asking me questions. And he would just get like right in my face. He'd be like, and it was so intimidating. But you know why they did that? They wanted to make sure that I knew my Bible. They wanted to make sure that I knew doctrine. I made sure that what a church is supposed to be, a New Testament, local New Testament church. They asked me question after question after question. And I have never been so nervous in my life. It was getting hot in there. Man, it was getting hot in there. But at the end, I'm glad I studied my Bible. I'm glad I knew my Bible. How embarrassing would it be if I'm not able to answer any of those questions? How embarrassed would it be when someone comes to you and say, hey, I've been struggling with the salvation. I mean, what does this verse mean? Can you explain that to me? They come to you and you don't know the answer. How embarrassing, how sad would that be? And they walk away and say, well, that was my own, they were my only hope. I guess I'll just go back to whatever I'm doing. Because you and I didn't know the Bible. We didn't know the answer. Study your Bible. Know Scripture. Memorize. I mean, I have a bad memory, but that's, I'm trying to memorize Scripture. I mean, I'm already bad with names, that is. You tell me your name, I'm going to forget. I mean, I need like name tags or something. That's just, I'm so forgetful. But I work hard trying to memorize Scripture. I want to know my Bible. I want to know where I'd be able to go to help somebody. I want to open the Bible as someone, I mean, if someone is, someone who's discouraged, I want to be able to give a verse to them, say, hey, read this verse. I want someone is dealing with salvation, have a hard time with salvation. I want to be able to get to the Bible, show them the Scripture, how to help them. So what we're saying here is, be a student of the Bible, know your Bible, yield to the Holy Spirit, give up control of your life, let the Spirit teach you, let Him guide you, and don't just settle with having salvation.
Amen.
Don't just settle for that. There's more than just being saved. There's more than just sitting in a pew. There's more than just coming to church and sitting and listening to preaching and then go home and put your Bible down. There's more to that. You have no idea. I mean, if you're not doing that today, just like today, I really, really encourage you to start doing more for the Lord. This list that I gave you, I mean, there's so much more I have. But time's sake, I'm not able to give those to you. But just do more for the Lord. Have an abundant life, a more abundant life. There's so many more benefits to just being saved. It is amazing. You will be thankful, you'll be grateful to God for if you do these things. Don't just settle for just having life. Have a more abundant life. Go further than you've ever gone before. Do more. Pray more. Give more. Be more faithful. Be a better Christian. Love more. Forgive more. Have more compassion. Have more love. Have more zeal. Be more faithful. Be more submissive. Be more obedient. Don't just settle for here, but you strive to be here where God wants you to be, and you will be amazed and you will be blessed having a more abundant life. There's more than just sitting on the pew. It's more than that. And I just encourage you this morning, follow these things. Name your sins, confess them, pray, know your Bible, be faithful, and God will do wonderful things in your life. More importantly, God has a will for your life. That will is for you to be more abundant in your Christian life.